Well, good morning. Good Saturday morning. You know, I sure like this playing in the background. You know, it's just enjoyable. How great thou art. When I in awesome wonder, consider all thy ways. Anyway, I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what? I would like to read a chapter of Ecclesiastes. And this world that we're living in right now is such that we've lost sight of what Solomon learned. And I, by the way, how you doing? I can say that, you know, from time to time, the Lord takes me down a little bit with some health issues. And I enjoy, I have to enjoy these times of sickness. You know, there's a sickness going around. A lot of people had the stomach thing, and I had that last week, and then went into the headache side of things, and then it went into that sore throat thing. So anyway, so I hope you're doing well. I felt really good enough to get up this morning and read the Ecclesiastes. What Solomon said has been before me here recently. Now, let me explain why. If you read the news and things like that, you see, or people's comments and such like that, people say something like, "Hey, happy birthday in heaven." Or I saw a shootout yesterday on a video, and the mom was calling the son saying, you know, go with God. And I thought, wow, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild that you live in this kind of life and you know, you're going down in flames or someone's sinning or whatever like that. And you're expected to be in heaven. And it's oftentimes because we think what we're going to get to heaven on. And we don't necessarily have things based upon what the Word of God says. And so I thought, well, let's read a few verses of Ecclesiastes here. And I thought I had these before me this morning. So let's just take a peek here at these verses. And before I do, I wanted to, give me a second here. I wanted to read a portion here from a particular writer here. Who is this again? This is a commentary written in the 1800s, and a good brother of dear brother in the Lord, where we were well taught here locally, mentioned in a conference that if he was to be left on an island, he would have this book as one of his five books. So let's go back to the cover here. So this is a commentary on Ecclesiastes by Charles Bridges. And I'm just going to read a paragraph or two from this. Because I had to, when that brother mentioned the fact that he was wanting, if he was on an island, he would have this book with him. I thought, well, I got to get a hold of this book. So I got a hold of this book. And let me see if I can get back to where I need to get to. I need to get back to Ecclesiastes 1. I just want to read a little bit of Ecclesiastes 1 here. So give me a moment here as I get this down, tuned down so I can see what's going on here. And I just want to read, let's just set up Ecclesiastes as a little meditation. There we go. There's Ecclesiastes 1. And let's go ahead and pop this up a little bit here. And so from time to time, it's good to get a hold of Ecclesiastes because it's words from David. You know, that when Solomon was writing in his life, this is very common knowledge, but it's worth looking at again. His early experiences, obviously, you can look at Song of Solomon and see those early experiences of love. And you can see the bride and her longing for Solomon as well. And then you get through the middle of life, you get the all the discussion that he has in the book of Proverbs, right? And the wisdom that we see in Proverbs, and we certainly want to look for those wisdom in Proverbs. But then when the end of life comes, and I don't know where you are in life, and I don't know where I am in life, but I find that Ecclesiastes is some serious meditation for today. And I hope that maybe just a few verses from the first chapter might be of help here. So let's get over here to Ecclesiastes. This is just a little bit of preparatory here before we get into it. The words of the preacher, the Song of David, King in Jerusalem. So this is the third book of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. There are no common words. They are weighty in substance, golden in value, but their highest stamp is that they are, as with olden prophets, words from the mouth of God. Let us take them not only as the words of Solomon, the wisest of men, but as the words of the wise, only wise God. Let them come to us in the full conviction of their divine original. Folly and weakness is our name, but oh, let us be as a little child before every word of the testimony, with a supreme desire to know the mind of God, not disputing, not leaning on our own understanding. That's where I have really come to realize that people are leaning on their own understanding when it comes to who's getting to heaven and who's not getting to heaven, or who's living the life and who's not living the life. They're living on their own understanding. You know, the verse that has come before me here of late is that verse, and you find it twice in Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And so I just state that, you know, let's not lean on our own understanding. We have to see what does the Word of God have before us. But be patient, humble learners before our heavenly teacher. This must be humble ourselves if we would be profit by the precious instruction. When a man, such was the dying witness of an intellectual Christian, comes to that book as a child, he will find wonders in it to make him marvel. Observe Solomon in his new name and character given to him only in this book, The Preacher. This sacred office he places in the foreground. For it was not more honorable to be the instructor of his people than to be the king of Jerusalem. If this was such an estimate in Solomon's time, much more it is in our own. The ordinance of preaching is now more fully consecrated as the great, grand divine instrument of divine grace. It tunes the heavenly song of joy over the repenting sinner. It brings out the purchased jewels to be eternally fixed in the meritorial crown. It anticipates the work of angels in gathering together the elect of God. Surely, when this office may be recognized as a far higher glory than to have discovered a planet or to have founded a dynasty. But let us see the royal preacher in office, garnished by God with great and glorious gifts. Behold him consecrating that temple on which he had centered his whole heart and his untold treasures. You know, that's one of the things too. Remember Solomon with all of his glory. All of his glory. He had everything there. We've seen that. Was it the Queen of Sheba that came up? When the Queen of Sheba came up and she says, behold, the half had not been told me, the glory that he had. So when we read this first chapter of Ecclesiastes, think about the fact that he had seen it all. He had seen it all. Everything this world could offer. And he found it folly. And so many of us were chasing what the world has to offer. And it is, frankly, folly. So, all right, let's get over into the first chapter of Ecclesiastes here. And let me just pop this up here. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's turn off the music here because I got to do so many things at one time. Oh, I just wanted to wake up and read this with you. So here we go. Ecclesiastes 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man in all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Well, let's keep rolling here. Let's see how this works here. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind... Stop right there. That's interesting. How many years are going by? We're already 3 months into this new year here. One sun rises up, and the sun sets again, and the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth again unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the water rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. If the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear is filled with hearing. And boy, oh boy, is that true today. We have our YouTube, we have our music, we have our this and that. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We have that thing called short attention spans now, right? And the short attention span is something that is sits there, and we are scrolling through this and scrolling through that, and it says the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that, and this verse was brought to me here yesterday. I was watching something here. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, right? People think that what we have going on today, there's new things going on. No, it has been going on for a long time. And that which is done is that which shall be done. You know, the heart of man is still the same. The heart of man, you can take one thing to the bank, the heart of man is still the same. And the heart of God is still the same too. The heart of God is such that he loves me, he loves you. But the other thing is too, what the heart of man wants to do his own thing. And yet God still hates sin, still hates sin. Even this day of grace, God still hates sin. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It is always, it hath been already of old time, which is before us. You know, it's interesting. We have chickens. Well, we've had chickens and we have ducks, but when we had chickens, you know, I've mentioned this before, we border on the size of some grapes there. And so the chickens, I had fenced off the thing so that the chickens couldn't go out into the vineyard. I don't want them to go on the vineyard. And doing so, there's coyotes out in the vineyard. And so I don't want them going out in the vineyard. So these chickens, typically, we would have a hen for about 2 years, 18 months to 2 years or so. Every generation of chicken would come along, and out of that batch of 25, 30 hens, there would be, you could take it to the bank, about four or five of them that knew that they could go outside the fence and go out into the grapes. Well, the problem with going on the grapes, the coyotes were wandering around and would come through. And the chicken oftentimes would get out of the fence and couldn't figure out how to get back in the fence. And so it would bed down out there in some kind of bush or something like that. Well, I would come along and I would see a pile of feathers. As I would do as I walk out there in the vineyard and come along the fence line, I would see a pile of feathers. And it reminded me of this verse, right here, where basically we have, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, and of all already of all time, which is before us. These hens didn't realize that there was another generation right before them where four or five hens would go out into the grapes and get killed because the coyotes were out there. And yet, every generation came along, every generation thought they were the new thing. And yet before them, a generation made the same mistakes. And so we're in today, and our generation is making the same exact mistakes as the last generation made. The big difference is we've got electricity now chugged into our mistakes. And so we've got the same kind of mistakes, but they're a little different. There is no remembrance of former things. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. You know, so we live in all of our lives for this, whatever we've got on this earth. Maybe we have only 50 years. Maybe we have 70 years. Maybe we have 80 years. And we're only traveling this planet during that period of time, and recognize the fact that, you know, we aren't going to be beyond the time that we're on this earth. No one's going to remember us. There's nothing. Well, we want to have a building named after me. No, well, maybe you're going to have a building named after me. I just saw somewhere some college named a building after this one name, but they had removed the name of another guy off that building. I thought that was funny. Is that some poor chap had a name on his building for 100 years ago, and then another guy comes along and they stick his name on that college building. So anyway, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The futility of wisdom. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that hath done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Wow, isn't that interesting? Basically, you and I, we have the same responsibility to seek out and to search out by wisdom all things that are done under the heaven. You know, we have obviously that ability now at the snap of our fingers. We can see information. We may not have wisdom, but we see information, lots of information at disposal. But the Word of God is still before us here too. Now, Word of God, I see the Word of God. You're seeing it right here. Blue Letter Bible, this is, right? And so it can be very, very accessible, Bible.com, to have the wisdom before us. So now we have this responsibility to seek after wisdom. Verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Just chew on that for a moment. The guy that's got the most gold, ever had the most gold, he ever had the most women, he had the most horses, he had everything in arrangement, the most glory, if you could say it that way. It was the height of any man's glory, probably. You know, I would even venture to say, higher than Nebuchadnezzar, right? Higher than those guys too, those despots that lived at the time, or the pharaohs that lived before him. Solomon had something peculiar to him that was very, very unique that God had given him too, because the whole world came to him seeking wisdom, right? And yet he gets down to the end of his life. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And I want to make sure that we understand, we go back to this here. All the works that are done under the sun. This is a key term right here, under the sun. Under the sun, how do you do this here? I have a single underline. Let's do underline here. Under the sun. That is what Solomon's Ecclesiastes book is all about. Under the sun. Because you and I, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we have a higher calling than just merely being under the sun, right? Colossians 3:1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, right? But Solomon didn't have that. He had only what he could see under the sun. And so everything that you see under the sun, it would behold as vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. So let's see what Solomon's thinking in his heart. You know, it's always interesting to read somebody's prayer, because that's kind of the meditation of their heart. That's why I enjoy John 17, the Lord Jesus talking to his Father. I enjoy that because that's the meditation of his heart. And other snippets along the way where we see a prayer, that's the meditation of the heart. And so here's Solomon's communing his own heart. It says, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all that had been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Well, he recognized he had more than they all had before. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit. Think about vexation of spirit. Why do you think, here's an interesting question. Why do you think that the highest, we have the alcohol rate that's been going on. Now we have drug use that's going on as well. The vexation of spirit. We are now getting into a situation where people are in despair. They have no hope. They don't have even the portion from Ecclesiastes. It's important to see that there is vexation of spirit going on. We must get a hold of that fact that Word of God will help clarify, just like Solomon's experience here. Let's move on here to the last verse of the chapter here, where it says, I perceive that this is also vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And that last verse is very interesting as well. We now have information. We have information at the click of our fingers. We know exactly when something is going down in this world, right? We understand exactly when things are happening, that in a moment's instance, and we are increased with knowledge. But what's that last verse say? We're increased with sorrow. Increased with knowledge increases sorrow. Let's look at that again. Last verse of Ecclesiastes 1. That is very solemn to see, is the more information we have, the more sorrow we have. We are not made to understand, and we're not omnipotent. We're not omnipresent. We are not that. And yet man is getting to the point where he's able to obtain and bring in all this information, but I don't think he can handle it. I don't think he can handle it. He's not God. And so anyway, there is, I'm just going to read two. I think I'm going to skip to the second chapter two here for, let's just quickly look at chapter two. I think this is important. Ecclesiastes 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. You know, when that vexation of spirit is happening, why, that mirth, I need to fill it with mirth. There is a lot of entertainment going on, right? A lot of entertainment, there's a lot of pleasure that's going on. This is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, that they should do under the heaven in all their lives. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great, small, and cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men servants, singers, and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than in all that was before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Well, that is an interesting portion there from Solomon. The fact is, he did it all. He absolutely did it all. And then when he came down to his life and he had all the wealth that he said, it's just like, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. So some people were still chasing it. We're still chasing it. And I just wanted to jump on and I was sleeping and considering these things that I have seen, that realize that people have a different thought of what heaven is like, what God's standards are, and we're off because we don't understand what God requires of us. And so may the gospel go out. May the good word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, go out. And so we may recognize that we're in a lost condition, and Solomon realized he was in a sorry state despite everything that he had. It's not about the mirth. It's not about the horses. It's not about all the women he had, all the gold he had. It's all about what is in glory. What is in glory? How do I get to glory? Is there a man in the glory that's waiting for me right now? The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for me? I hope that's your hope too. I hope it's your hope to see him as well. So anyway, very good. If you have any comments, let me know. I'd love to hear from you too as well, but it's always a joy to jump on here early in the morning. I hope that first chapter of Ecclesiastes was of interest and help. And so with that, I don't think I have any comments. That's fine. I always enjoy comments. I just sit here and listen to this song. I love this song. So soothing. How great thou art. Maybe someday I'll do a little show where I may even sing or something like that. Maybe play a little guitar. I don't play like really good guitar, but it'd be kind of fun to do that. But anyway, all right, that's all for this morning, Saturday morning. And tomorrow's the Lord's Day. And I hope you're able to enjoy the Lord and what he's done for you. And not only his death, but his resurrection. It's a beautiful thing to do that every day, first day of the week. So with that, we'll get ready for that. And we'll see you on another one. All right, have a great day.